Good morning and welcome to our radio service this morning here from Trinity United Methodist Church in Seymour, Indiana. We're glad to have you with us this morning by way of radio. And if you'd like to watch a video broadcast of Pastor Angel, be sure and check out our YouTube channel at Trinity United Methodist Church in Seymour, Indiana. Just search for Trinity United Methodist Church, Seymour, Indiana, and you'll find our channel. And if you'd like, hit the subscribe button, and it will be easier to find. This morning, our scripture reading comes from Luke 2, verses 8 through 14. Luke 2, 8 through 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Amen. And now, Pastor Angel.
Good morning. This is our second Sunday in Advent. Merchants think of Christmas as a time of booming sales. Postal workers think of it as a time of back-breaking labor and long extended hours. Small children look forward to it with expectancy and joy. Music lovers think of it as a season of concerts. Pre-COVID, the entertainment section of the newspaper was filled with musical selections. The church section, in and of itself, was filled with children's programs, lessons and carols, and special music concerts honoring the sacredness of the season. In communities of every size and every kind of cultural background, there are school programs, symphonies, and local artists are singing of Christmas. Even television programs has broadened its scope. They're airing everything from pop music to country singers. Almost every church, whatever its size or musical abilities, offers specials through the Advent season. Music of every kind is everywhere. Music is powerful. It is engaging. Music is the one thing that engages both the right hemisphere of the brain and the left hemisphere of the brain. As a matter of fact, scientists say that people with musical talent and abilities have a higher IQ because it does cross the left and the right hemisphere. Time and time and time again, when I've gone into a nursing home to do a nursing home service, people are sitting there, eyes downcast, quiet, silent, staring vacantly. And I go to speak to them, and they say very little, if anything at all. Frequently, they don't even know their own name. And after we get done singing three or four of the beloved hymns, I see a light come on in their eyes. I see a sense of joy in their countenance. I see the color of their skin change. And then after a short devotion and a few more hymns, I get to talking to them. And there's a smile upon their face, and they can tell me their name. and they tell me which hymn they liked and why it's their favorite. Music stirs the soul. The lyrics speak to our minds. For centuries, theology is best taught through the hymns. The chords played deeply touch our emotions in a way that nothing else can. We find the Gospel of Luke no different. It literally sings of the joy of Christmas. We read, "In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks. It was in that quiet place that the inaugural, the original, the foundational first Christmas concert took place." What a setting. That's part of the wondrous glory of Christmas. Music is everywhere during the blessed season, in the malls, in the grocery stores, in places of business, on your car radio when you turn it on, and merchants know how to work it. I remember once shopping in one of those little unique small gift shops. I was with my best friend, and I picked something up, and I said, "This would make a great Christmas present for so-and-so." And then I began looking for one for someone else. And suddenly I heard Christmas music coming from the small radio on the owner's desk. Music stirs the soul. I suppose listening to Christmas music in the department stores, on the radio, in concerts, and everywhere could cause it to become commonplace, to the point where we hardly hear it at all and we tune it out, let alone be stirred by it. Yet I still cast my vote for having it played. Now, mind you, I don't want it played much before Thanksgiving. I want to wait until the season is right. Christmas music redeems the setting, and the Christmas message brings light into even the darkest of settings. On Christmas Eve in 1944, Martin Niehöller preached at Dachau, the Nazi execution camp. Niemöller had spoken out against Hitler from his suburban Berlin pulpit, and he'd been arrested and tried, and he had spent 7 years in concentration camps, the last four of which in Dachau, known as the most brutal execution camp. The sounds of brutality and the smells of death were constant. Oppressive environment for all of the prisoners there, and the only hope of a way out was death. Pastor Martin began his Christmas Eve sermon by saying, "When Christmas must be celebrated in captivity, it is naturally a dismal affair." Yet for his text, he chose, as I have chosen, the angel's song, the song from the shepherd's field. And he concluded the sermon with these words, "Let us therefore today, on this holy Christmas Eve, beseech the Lord Jesus Christ that he who came as a babe in a world alienated from God in order to save it, may also enter into us, bring us his salvation, and grant us joy." Powerful, powerful statement, awaiting death, longing for death as it was the only hoped for end to the sights, the sounds, and the smells of unspeakable, ghastly brutality. Yet this pastor stirs hope in the hopeless prisoners. Let him enter into us and bring him into us. Bring his salvation into us and grant us joy. For we know time and time again throughout the scriptures with all of the martyrs and all stories throughout history during times of great oppression, we find the Spirit of the Lord doing the impossible, granting joy where there is deep despair, bringing hope where there was none, pouring his love upon the oppressed, and bringing peace when nothing else could possibly soothe the soul. Beloved, it will be no different this season. If joy can be found at Dachau, it can be found with us during this whole COVID pandemic. The first Christmas concert in a shepherd's field. There is no earthly setting that is beyond the reach of music. Consider the audience that attended that first Christmas concert. There was no great crowd, no jeweled women in box seats, no thoughtful critics along the aisles. There were no fur coats, at least not the kind with hefty price tags on them. There were furs draped across them to keep the listeners from the chill of the night. A goat fur, maybe? There were shepherds. People whose very occupation gave them a bad reputation. For just as today, many were judged by few. It is sad that some of the shepherds had confused what was mine with what was thine. So people watched them guardedly and with suspicion. They were not allowed to give testimony in court. They were considered to be unreliable. The shepherds in Luke's story may well have been men of honor, but they were judged by a few who had given all shepherds a label of ill repute. If today a major one-of-a-kind concert were to be performed before such an audience, some would surely say, "What a waste!" No one knows what latent capacity awaits one in any given crowd. I imagine no major artist would have been thrilled about performing in Kilgore, Texas, more than half a century ago, when young Van Cliburn, who would one day become a world-renowned concert pianist, was growing up in Kilgore. I would imagine that not many pastors would have been thrilled to receive an appointment in Blantyre, Scotland, in the early 19th century. No doubt most pastors would avoid the tiny village on the Clyde. Most would look for a more promising field. How could they possibly know that from this tiny village and this tiny church, a boy would grow up to become the greatest missionary of modern times, David Livingstone? but an angel concert for rugged, prejudged shepherds is not simply telling us that diamonds sometimes can be found in the most unlikely of places, even though we all know that is true. I believe this story is telling us that our good, gracious, and mighty God sees all of us as a diamond, as a precious jewel. Angels sing for shepherds, not because someday they may become important, but simply because they are human beings, God's creation, His children. God's love and His salvation is for all people. There is no request for proof of merit, no needed evidence for future potential. This, beloved, is called grace. I once heard a sermon preached about the shepherds. It was an imaginative story about who the shepherds were before this concert in the field and who they became after. The preacher said that those shepherds would never be the same again. Duh. Huh. I have no doubt that such an experience would forever change one's life. The sermon told of the transformation that took place in those shepherds after the angels' concert, and more so after seeing the beloved Christmas babe. But of course, the scripture does not tell us what happened with the shepherds. There is no sequel. All we have is legend and imagination to rely upon. We're not even told if they followed Jesus later in life. It is as if the story is telling us that God's love comes with no strings attached. Heaven's angels sang for an unlikely bunch, not because they deserved it, or because they had the capacity to truly appreciate it, or even because one day one of them might become a great artist or a missionary, but rather they sang to the shepherds in a field because God Himself is love, redeeming love, from God's heaven to the manger, from great riches to the poor, the Son of God to seek and save, from a loving Heavenly Father to a world who knew Him not. The words came, "Do not be afraid, for see, I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord." Then the chorus, we know so well. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest heaven. And on earth, peace among those on whom His favor rests. What a concert theme! When we think of the song that the angels sang, we instinctively think of the second portion, and on earth peace among those on whom His favor rests, or in the familiar language of the King James, on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Not many of us immediately think of the first part, glory to God in the highest heaven. After all, it was His redeeming love that has saved us. Of course, it isn't surprising that our first response isn't to imagine God's glory in the highest. We have reason to be weary. We have war and we have strife. We have illness, We have COVID now. We have discontention among us. And in this season, most generally, it's filled with hustle and bustle. And we just want to get through it. We have so many activities that we're committed to. That is one blessing that has come with COVID. It has slowed us down a bit. Besides, peace is such an immediate issue. It is such a life and death issue at times. Such as cried out for, longing of our hearts for those who suffer illness, grief, and fear. By comparison, God's glory seems far away and distant. It seems unreal. Could it be that possibly the first step towards peace might be found in a right and profound recognition of God? A gratitude so deep for His redeeming love that our hearts are ignited, our spirits are renewed, our minds are calmed by love and adoration for proclaiming His great love. Could it be that peace is found in our focus upon God in the highest heaven? Such thinking cannot be sold in any department store. It cannot be procured online. Such thinking cannot be given to us by anyone other than the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. To that degree, the degree for which we search for meaning or peace or love among the world today, this human race has lost its sense of God, of awe, of reverence, of wonder. And thus we have lost our own sense of eternal worth. We have lost our regard for truth. There is no ultimate truth among the human race as a whole anymore. It is perspective. It is your truth. It is my truth. It is what you believe. It is what I believe. Christians need to proclaim the truth and stand by it. No longer do we stand for justice and mercy and kindness. We have lost self-respect right along with respect for others. And how we treat others is an illustration for how we feel about ourselves. For when we love and care for ourselves, when we remember that we were created in the image of God, that we are loved and cherished and valued by the Father, that we make mistakes, yes, but we come and we reason with Him and we are washed as clean as snow. When we remember that, then we treat one another with dignity, respect, and love. When we forget that and we begin treating one another callously, we reveal what is in our hearts. If peace on earth and goodwill is to come about, it must begin with our worship of God. If we sing glory to God and acknowledge the very depth of its implications, we will instinctively become God's instruments for peace. It is this adoration of God that reveals the very best in humanity. It is this thinking of His glory that humbles us, that brings us to our knees. It is this cherishing of Him, this trust in Him that softens our heart and helps us to treat one another in love. It helps us to reflect deeply within. It is this change that I imagine happened with the shepherds. They would never be the same again after hearing the angels' choir or after seeing the Christ child. Peace on earth will not descend in the fashion of the angels. It will be a product of our dedicated effort to seek first and foremost the face of God and then to seek the lost, bringing them to the cross, to the feet of Jesus, bringing them into the fold. Where will we start? So many peacemaking efforts go awry, not only at the level of civil unrest, but also in our homes with our families, in our marriages, and in our businesses, and yes, even within the church. The psalmist says in mournful tones, "I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war." Many of us have felt this way on some occasion or another. I must confess that there have been many times that I am for peace, that I am for reconciliation or resolution. But there's times where someone close to me points out to me that possibly I'm looking for it to come on my own terms. And we can't do that. We have to surrender fully to God. I have witnessed pacifists who have become extremely aggressive when there is controversy over how peace will be pursued. I have counseled people who love one another very much, but they love their own opinions more, and good relationships are broken. Nations have been divided because the leaders want peace, but they want it with honor. And in this case, honor is spelled my way. We may want peace, but we often have the mindset of how that will come about. And we get stuck on our own ideas rather than remembering if we focus on God, peace will indeed come about. Back to the angels' choir. The last we heard, they knelt and worshiped before the Lord. You know, I can just imagine out in that field, one of those shepherds picked up his staff and said, "Let us go to the city of David. Let us go to Bethlehem and worship the newborn king." And across that field they went. I imagine that everyone they came across as they journeyed to that stable was told of what they had seen and heard. Isn't it a shame that we aren't the same way? That we aren't as excited? They listened awestruck, and then they shared the glory of God. What if today we were to focus on glory to God in the highest heaven? What if we were to focus on goodwill towards all men? What would we do if we heard an angel's choir? Well, beloved, if we truly heard the words of Scripture today, we too would run to worship the newborn king. Will we, you and I, promote peace on earth and goodwill towards all of humankind? I pray it is so. Amen.
And once again, thank you for joining us this morning by way of radio here at Trinity United Methodist Church in Seymour, Indiana. And we also invite you to check out this morning's sermon on YouTube.com. Search for Trinity United Methodist Church, Seymour, Indiana, and hit the subscribe button. God's blessings to you this morning.